Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich, and I'm your host. I wanted to share with you a little bit from my time at the Asbury Revival. This past Saturday, I was at the prayer chapel early in the morning, praying there with another one of the young men here at the farm. And as I came back, my heart was just rejoicing. I was just so happy in the Lord. I came back and turned on Facebook and looked at a few things and saw that several people had posted about the revival that had been going on there consistently since last Wednesday in chapel when a few students stayed after the service to pray. And as I was reading some of those reports, God just touched my heart. I was walking back and forth in my office and I was just weeping and saying, God, I want to be part of this. Obviously, I had things planned for that day and there was lots to do, but my wife is getting up and we prayed together. And as I was praying with her, I just felt that nudge from the Holy Spirit that I needed to go. And so I got my son out of bed and told him to pack and called Brother Matthew, another guy here at the farm, and told him what we were doing. And about 15 minutes later, we were on the road, headed for Kentucky. All the way there, God's presence was just close to us as we were traveling along. A little before we arrived, just after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we were traveling and still several miles from Asbury, and Samuel looked at a vehicle that was just in front of us, and he said, that car right there is going to Asbury. And I said, okay. But I took note of it. It had a baby on board bumper sticker, and so it was pretty easy to spot. And as we made the various turns, the car kept turning exactly where we were turning. And finally, we turned onto the road there that led to Asbury, and they were right in front of us. And as we were pulling into the parking lot, they were pulling into the parking lot too. A little family with a young baby just getting out of their vehicle. And they were headed to the same place we were for the same reason. You know, as we walked towards the Hughes Memorial Building there was just almost a magnetism just drawing us. I don't know how else to describe it. And as I was walking across the lawn there in front of the building, just felt God's presence just sweeping over me, and I couldn't help just weeping. We came in the doors and I felt God's presence there. And I just immediately went down to the altar and began just seeking God. As I was sitting there later that afternoon on the front seat, I wrote down some of those things that God had spoken to me about during that time of prayer. And the first thing was that I've been spiritually arrogant. And spiritual arrogance is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. He showed me there that he has people who love him in all kinds of traditions. And unfortunately, subtly sometimes, I've looked down on others rather than accepting that God is at work in their lives too. I remember in Indianapolis a few years ago, a friend of mine that we would meet and talk about life and ministry down in the hood and all kinds of other things. But my friend Jim Streetlemeyer, he identifies himself as a 4.5-point Calvinist. He's a little squirrely on limited atonement. But other than that, he's a straight 5-point Calvinist guy. And I remember after our first conversation about theology, he said, Eric, I hate your theology, but I love you. I kind of felt the same way about him. We didn't agree. And there was no use pretending we did. We didn't. You know, I'm not talking about some kind of ecumenical, let's just check all of our beliefs at the door and just pretend we don't believe anything, because I don't think that's been very helpful at all. But what I felt there that afternoon cut across all racial boundaries and denominational boundaries. We were God's people seeking the heart of God. And what I saw there were Christian brothers and sisters that wanted to know God deeply. The second thing during the time, and that afternoon there was a prayer for the restoration of the church. And I'm sure it was somebody that leads there at Asbury. His name was David, but I have no idea exactly what his title was. There weren't really any emphasis on titles. It was just, he got up and shared a little bit about how much God loves his church, but how deeply people have been hurt by his church. And he led us in a time and a prayer of repentance. And as I knelt there before the altar, just crying out to God, seeing my need to repent for my part in the church's weakness and its lack, in our prayerlessness. Too often our profound carelessness is not acceptable. God has power for his people. And I was reminded of that passage in Corinthians where it says, if the gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. One brother, in sharing a testimony, said that we are forever marked by times like this. He had been involved in a revival effort before, and God had marked him, and he said, we are glory carriers. I just grabbed onto that. We are glory carriers. Wherever you go, you're going to carry this with you, he said. I know that God would somehow raise up in our generation glory carriers. People that wherever they go, whatever they're doing, whatever their job happens to be, whether or not they have a title or church ministry official capacity or not, they are glory carriers wherever they go. We were there for almost 9 hours, and it didn't seem like hardly any time at all. We had a special time there in the evening of communion and sharing the Lord's Supper together with all these people from so many different backgrounds. It was just so incredibly refreshing. And finally, about 10 o'clock, we had a decision to make, and whether or not we were going to do the responsible thing and head back home or just continue to just bask in the presence of God there. And I felt just that nudge in my spirit that we needed to go. And so we left reluctantly. The place was still full, probably over 2,000 people. I don't know. I think the building holds 1,500 or something, I saw online, but there were people packed in there everywhere. It wasn't just standing room only. It was just people everywhere. And nobody really wanted to go anywhere else. But as we got in the car and began to head back home, God's presence was just so sweet with us, recounting the things that God was speaking to us about during that day. And we ended up staying the night at God's Bible School in college in Cincinnati. By the time I got there, I realized I was more tired than I thought I was. I'd been up for, I guess, close to 20 hours. And so we finally got to bed about 1 o'clock and woke up about 5 and headed out to get home. We were home just a little after 8 o'clock. I was tired physically, but I was so incredibly encouraged. I didn't have any notes, but I scribbled some things down on my paper, and it was a message for God's people. I preached from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 yesterday, about the high and holy calling that God has called us to. And you know, the interesting thing about Ephesians 4 is that it's in the plural. A lot of times we make it distributive, you know, God has called you to a high calling. But it's not. It's all y'all, as they say in the South. It's God has called us as his people to this calling. I went on to talk about the need for humility and the need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I shared the example of that in Acts chapter 2. We read there in verses 41 through 47 about how their hearts were changed, so much so that they didn't even think that the stuff that they owned was really theirs to keep anymore. And I came across a quote this past week as I was studying. The title of my message was A Community of Worshipers. Even before I went to Asbury, that was the message that was on my heart. I was reading from Called to Community by my friends from the Bruderhof that published this kind of anthology of different authors. And in there's a little passage from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. In regards to that passage in Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. They that believed were of one heart and soul and had all things in common. He writes this, "It is instructive to note that fellowship is mentioned between word and sacrament. This is no accident, for fellowship always springs from the word and finds its goal and completion in the Lord's Supper. The whole common life of the Christian fellowship oscillates between word and sacrament. It begins and ends in worship. It looks forward in expectation to the final banquet in the kingdom of God. When a community has such a source and goal, it is a perfect communion of fellowship in which even material goods fall into their appointed place. In freedom, joy, and the power of the Holy Spirit, a pattern of common life is produced where neither was there among them any that lacked, where distribution was made unto each according as anyone had need, where not one of them said that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. In the everyday quality of these events, we see a perfect picture of that evangelical liberty where there is no need of compulsion. They were indeed of one heart and soul." As I was reflecting on that this past week and shared that with our congregation yesterday, it begins and ends in worship. You know, the thing that should mark the Church of God is that we're a different kind of community. The thing that brings us together as the people of God is not our common interest in a particular topic. Unfortunately, today, you know, we've got things like the biker church or the cowboy church. And unfortunately, I say that because I think it sends the message that it's all about us. It's all about what we want. As religious consumers, we can have it our way, the right way, at Burger King now, you know, Jesus style. When God intended for us to be the body of Christ and members together one of another, he intended to meld us together with people for his purpose that would be focused on him. There was a word that James gave in the evening there at Asbury that just really spoke to my heart. He shared from the passage in Isaiah where it was referring to John the Baptist, that he would prepare the way of the Lord, that he would be a voice crying in the wilderness. He said he was like a flashlight pointing to Jesus, and that we as worshipers should be pointing to Jesus. It's all about him. As he sat there on the edge of the stage and he said, "You know, I know we've got a lot of different worship styles here and a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, and the way in which you maybe are comfortable with or are used to is not what we're doing here." The way he put it was, I know a few of the songs we may have here are not on your playlist." There was a mix of hymns and worship songs and all kinds of different backgrounds, but he said, "These songs are not about you. They're about him." Oh, that God would help us to get a hold of that. Church is more than just a dispenser of religious goods and services, friends. God is calling us to be a community of worshipers, people that would seek after the heart of God. You know, one of the things Saturday morning that God just opened up to my heart was that passage there in Psalms 95. Two different times in that passage, there's an invitation. "O come, let us sing unto the Lord." And in verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down." And the reason in both instances that he's giving this invitation is found in verse 3, first of all, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." And then in verse 7, I underline this, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." Friends, there's an invitation to participate in what God is doing, an invitation to be a community of worshipers, because it all begins and ends with worship. We had an amazing time yesterday sharing together here at the gathering at Victory Acres. God met with us in such an amazing way. You just had to be here. That's all I know how to say. But you know, I thought about those words, "We're glory carriers." We weren't at Asbury yesterday, but God was with us, and the fire that he lit in our hearts in that time there, we carried with us, and God met with us here. You know, John Piper said, missions exist because worship doesn't. I've chewed on that. The reason we need a specialized group of people called missionaries to go and tell about Jesus is that we really don't get it. Too often we have not fully grasped the greatness of his worth. He is our God. He is a great God. You know, if every Christian in every place really grasped that and wanted to make his name famous, we wouldn't need any missionaries, because God's people would be going all over the place to make him famous. Oh, they would want to make him famous. Friends, I don't know where you're at in all this, but there's a hunger in my heart to see God move in our day in a way that we haven't ever seen it before. I'm not satisfied with just nominal Christianity. I'm not satisfied to see people that are lost and hurting and broken in our community just go on down the road of despair and suicide and drug overdose. I'm not okay with it. During the time of testimonies in the afternoon, as I was there at Asbury, there was a young lady who stood up and with tears streaming down her face said, "Well, 2 years ago, I was strung out, but today I'm in my first revival." There was another young lady who stood up and testified about how a year and a half ago she had been raped, and that for the last year and a half her life had been just wrecked, but how God had brought healing and restoration to her in these past few days, and to see the hope that radiated from her face. Friends, our communities need it. Our churches need it, but our communities need it as well. And if we are going to make an impact in our day, it is going to take this kind of revival fire just sweeping our nation. I know that there are people who are just in despair over our country. And friends, there are plenty of challenges. Plenty of challenges. But I believe that the power of God is able to meet every need, to transform every seeking heart. But it all begins and ends in worship. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And so that's my prayer today, is that God would humble our hearts and help us to see him in all of his glory. I don't know where you're at in all this, but friends, I know where I am. I want to be a seeker after the heart of God. For Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.